IVM.
Bacha log, if you've come across highlight reels recently on Instagram from the second season of IPL and you're wondering, Papa, why are Mumbai Indians playing against CSK and Cape Town? Then let Uncle Cyrus answer all your questions about this. Not all your questions about life itself. I don't have time for that. When the world was introduced to the concept of the Indian Premier League in 2008, any average cricket fan imagined it to be an updated version of a regular domestic league. The inaugural IPL season was equivalent to a 1,000 crore club Bollywood movie, which in today's time is an ultimate blockbuster. 20 crore Indians on TV and 1 crore overseas viewers tuned into IPL as it single-handedly bowled out the TRPs and became an instant family entertainer. The stage was set for it to become one of the biggest leagues in sporting history. But every good script has a huge conflict, and IPL faced them in late 2008.
It's a six!
Hello! My name is Cyrus Brocha and welcome back to IDFC First Bank Century of Cricket podcast. And here's your fun IDFC first fact of the week. Did you know that the IPL trophy is worth a fortune? Literally. The trophy is made out of gold and silver and its base is studded with rubies and diamonds and other very precious stones, bringing the value of that trophy to $40,000. See, now I understand why the entire team holds the trophy. Anyway, let's go back to the story. With the general elections looming large, security was a major concern. So close to 165 drafts of the IPL schedule were pitched to the government, but nothing worked. The BCCI eventually announced that the IPL could not be hosted in India. If a quick, instinctive decision had not been taken, IPL would have been labelled as a one-hit wonder and would not have been taken seriously by the audience. But Lalit Modi, the then IPL chairman, was a man known to not take no for an answer. So Modi and his team went on a mission to make IPL 2009 happen by hook or crook and considered two countries as a potential host, England and South Africa. There were a lot of restrictions tagging along with hosting the IPL in the United Kingdom. First and foremost, the weather. The organisers realised that rain could have seriously affected close to 70% of the matches if the tournament had been held in England. Secondly, most of the stadiums in England didn't have floodlights back then. And lastly, England was holding a T20 World Cup in June and the majority of the stadiums had already begun gearing up for preparations for that ICC tournament. South Africa, on the other hand, was ticking all these boxes. Wait, I'll show it to you live. The weather was perfectly suitable. The South African government and the Cricket Association of South Africa assured that the IPL will receive the full red carpet treatment. And most importantly, the cost of running the tournament in South Africa would also be substantially less than England. So with all these factors in favour of the BCCI, the IPL was planned to be hosted in the rainbow country itself. But the challenges soon started to unpeel one at a time. One of the major issues was that everything had been planned, keeping in mind that the 2009 season will be hosted in India. But the organisers only had 3 weeks with them, just 3 weeks to host the tournament. Can you believe that? So every single piece of equipment that you can imagine to organise a tournament of that scale was flown to South Africa from India, even the dugouts on the boundaries. Yes, even the cheerleaders. My God, these people are always asking about the cheerleaders. If you watch the highlights of that season of IPL today, you'll notice that the players were wearing beanies and sweaters. Ah, that's not because they wanted to look cool, that's because it was very cold in South Africa and the first IPL was played during peak Indian summer. Okay, now everything was done and it was time to play. But before the first match, they had to figure out ways to build the hype among the South African public. Because it wasn't going to be as easy to fill these stadiums in South Africa for an Indian domestic league. A citywide parade was organised in Cape Town before the opening game, where all the teams were on the city buses, waving to the fans who had gathered to see their favourite cricketers and also waving to those who had just gathered to see what was happening. We have a clip. Here's a fan waving.
Tendulkar.
The second season of the IPL kicked off with Mumbai Indians versus Chennai Super Kings. This season witnessed the first super over in the history of the IPL when Yusuf Pathan from Rajasthan Royals smashed KKR's Ajanta Mendis to win the league stage match. What a super over game. RCB and Deccan Chargers, the teams at the bottom of the table in the previous season, managed to reach the finals as Deccan Chargers actually lifted the trophy for the first time. Not only was this season a huge success for the IPL, it was also a major economic success for South Africa, as that season infused 100 million into their economy, of which I contributed about $25. With the IPL under their belts, they showed the world that they were capable of hosting large-scale tournaments at such short notice and gave a sense of assurance to the FIFA Federation that they would be able to host the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Although the TV ratings slightly dipped compared to the inaugural season, this season proved that IPL was just not an Indian domestic league with fans only supporting their cities, but established its status as an international franchise league like the EPL. The success of IPL in South Africa built even more hype for the Indian fans, waiting for it to come back to their hometowns again as it witnessed a 14% increase in the overall viewership in the season that followed. This also allowed other countries to take an interest in hosting the Indian Premier League, which led to the UAE hosting the games in 2014 and also during the COVID years. IPL today is the second largest sporting league, surpassing the historical leagues such as, hear this, NBA, EPL, the La Ligas and whatnot. Will it be able to become the richest league in the world? You ask me this question, I'll answer in private, not in public. And that's the end of this episode of Century of Cricket, brought to you by IDFC First Bank. And now I'm going to go and plan my next international trip. Also save money on that through my IDFC First WOW credit card, which has zero forex charges. Repeat, zero forex charges. Okay, people, as I say bye, I'll leave you with the square cut played by Gundappa Vishwanath. Gundappa ji, just off camera, play the shot, please. But MS Dhoni has been a household name for decades now. Imagining Indian cricket without Dhoni is like imagining vada pav without the vada. It just doesn't make sense. Dhoni dominated the field and my heart like nobody's business for 16 years, ladies and gentlemen. But then came the year 2020.